You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, what's your favorite smell in the world?
The ocean, coffee, fresh baked bread.
Okay, now take a whiff of my neck and tell me what you smell.
You and freshly baked bread?
You got it, hon. This is Melanie's newest incredible scent, Brioche.
Oh, wow.
Right? You see, there's this little bakery in France Melanie used to walk by, and the smell of bread would stop her in her tracks. Don't you think this scent has the same effect?
It definitely stopped me.
Nice. Well, you'll want to check out all of Voyage AC's gorgeous face and body products, beautiful scents, and phenomenal candles. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our brand new website at theonlyonepod.com. And you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VoyageEtici.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
What?
Yep, that's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and scents.
This podcast is supported by Cute Booty Lounge. Thank you to Cute Booty Lounge for signing up to sponsor another season of The Only One in the Room. I love how your leggings look on my girl.
And I love wearing them. Mm. They are by far the sexiest and coziest leggings I've ever owned. And now that it's officially fall, I'm all for anything cozy. Mm-hmm. Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women and for women. The company is incredible. It's female and minority owned. Everything they make makes your booty look amazing. The dresses, right?
Yep.
The tops, the lounge and sleepwear, and their leggings have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets. There's a cute booty style for everyone. Cute Booty Lounge has you covered, no matter what your style. Embrace your body, love your booty.
And to make it even sweeter, head to cutebooty.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
You better pull that website up right now and get this deal.
Right? So head to cutebooty.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Nadia Okamoto, and I'm the only one in the room posting my period blood all over TikTok. I think one of the biggest pushback I get is people saying, you don't need to do this. This is so gross. You don't have to show it. And I think what I've really learned is I've spent the last 6 years running an organization, writing a book, doing national press, advocating, starting a company about periods. This feels like the next iteration of my advocacy. The fact that it is the most viral thing that I've ever done by lifting a finger and that people are talking about it. And to me, that is progress. I'm excited to get my next period so I can start doing more content.
Once there was a girl who discovered that while period products seemed to be widely available to everyone, there were still many girls and women who were forced to use trash to absorb their menstrual flow every month. 23-year-old Harvard graduate Nadia Okamoto founded period.org at the age of 16, and in 2020 she co-founded August, a lifestyle brand working to reimagine periods. But what would you do if, even after all your work and dedication, 4 in 5 U.S. students were missing classes because of lack of access to period products? And periods were still the main reason why girls were missing school in developing countries. Would you move on to a cause that made people feel more comfortable? Or would you start posting your period blood on TikTok and demand that the world starts paying attention? Period. Hi, I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. In September 2018, I found myself in an all-too-familiar position. Looking around the room at the other attendees at a famed writer's retreat, I realized that I was the only Black woman in the room. When I wrote about my experience for The Huffington Post, something surprising happened. 24 hours after my piece went live, I had 568 direct messages in my inbox. These were messages from people of all races, ethnicities, creeds, and nationalities who had connected with my piece because they too had felt othered. These are the stories we want to share. This podcast is for anyone who has ever felt alone in a room full of people, which is to say that this podcast is for everyone. You're listening to The Only One in the Room, presented by Lipstick and Vinyl and executively produced by Christina Barcy. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show. And if you have an Only One in the Room story you'd like to share, you can DM us on Instagram at The Only One in the Room. Enjoy the show. Hi, Nadia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. So excited to have you on. And before we start the interview, here's my question for you. Tell me, what are the foods that you crave when you're on your period?
Definitely dark chocolate.
Yes.
Would say usually it's just a lot of my favorite foods. I'm like a really big sucker for comfort food, and I kind of let myself lean into a lot more of those cravings when I'm on my period. So yeah. I would say mac and cheese for sure.
I was going to say mac and cheese. And pizza?
Less so pizza, definitely mac and cheese.
Okay, mac and cheese and dark chocolate. So you want to keep those on hand, right, for that time of the month.
I like that stuff all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about leaning into it. I'm like, dark chocolate, pizza, come on.
Well, thank you for that. I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. But I'm never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, hun. So, hun, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nadia, okay? So Nadia Okamoto is a 23-year-old Harvard graduate. What? In early 2020, Nadia co-founded August, a lifestyle brand working to reimagine periods. Nadia is also the founder of Period, period.org, an organization fighting to end period poverty and stigma that she founded at the age of 16. Under her leadership as executive director for 5 years, Period addressed over 1.5 million periods and registered over 800 campus chapters in all 50 states and 50 other countries. And in 2017, Nadia ran for public office in Cambridge, Mass. At age 19, at the time becoming the youngest Asian American to run. In 2018, Nadia published her debut book, Period Power, a manifesto for the menstrual movement, which made the Kirkus Reviews list for best young adult nonfiction of 2018. Nadia is also the former chief brand officer and current board member of JUV Consulting, or JUV, a Generation Z marketing agency based in New York City. She has been recognized on the list of Forbes 30 Under 30, Bloomberg's 50 Ones to Watch, and People Magazine's Women Changing the World. Isn't that incredible, hun?
She's busy. We better get to the interview.
I know. I'm so happy that we have you here. This is such an only one in the room story. People can feel like they're the only ones with a period. They're the only ones being impacted by it. They're the only ones who are ashamed of it. They're the only ones who want to break the stigma like you. So thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about periods. Nadia, how do you identify?
With the She, Her series.
She, Her series. That's the first time I've heard that. That's great. Thank you. And you and I, we were just talking about this, but you and I were on the same Clubhouse stage with Dr. Melissa Barker. It was a talk about cultivating hope and healing for survivors this past April. So I just wanted to shout her out for that small connection, which allowed us to connect again. And I'm so excited about it. So we're going to talk about periods, this whole interview, people. And what's really cool, I think, is how you have brought all genders and people who are, you know, nonconforming to gender into these conversations. We're going to start with what I think is kind of the beginning. You say that you became obsessed with periods as a teen. Tell me what was going on with you then.
I think I really started identifying with my passion for periods when I was 16. And at the time, my family was experiencing housing instability, and I was really obsessing in my own life over this question of, I think, necessities with life and affording things you needed in your life. And it was a time when I was also coming into contact a lot more than I normally was with people who were experiencing, you know, homelessness and in much less fortunate situations than I was in, and started hearing stories of period poverty for the first time.
Wow. What were these women who were experiencing homelessness like? Were they talking about their periods? What did you observe about them that made you more interested?
You know, one of the fascinating things is it was never something I was, you know, trying to seek out in conversation. And it was never the sort of thing where, oh, like I'm going up to them and they're talking to me about periods immediately. It really came from conversation where I was, you know, being inquisitive about their living situation and what they found most challenging about their living situation. And I was kind of nosily asking about, you know, experiences of how they got to their living situation, what was most challenging, you know, the things that were ignored. And that's how I kind of started hearing these stories of experiencing period poverty and using things like toilet paper and socks and brown paper grocery bags and cardboard to take care of their periods. And it was just kind of this need that I think we can all agree is rather neglected and forgotten about. And it was also a need that I hadn't even thought about myself. And it just kind of woke up this sort of frustration and anger in me of, you know, why is this such an issue? And why don't we talk about this enough? And why didn't I know about this before? And that kind of frustration and, you know, I think passion for the cause is what's brought me to today.
Yeah. And I love that. And you talked about nobody should have to use trash, right, to deal with their period. And that's the kind of stuff you were talking about, the cardboard boxes, the napkins, the toilet paper, whatever it might be. You also, I saw, I think it might have been on your site, that the culture you grew up in, you weren't afraid to talk about your period. You weren't shamed about it. It wasn't discussed in whispers. But why do you think people are afraid to talk about periods? Why is there a stigma?
This is a rabbit hole that I can really go down, which is like, I think we can talk about it from the perspective of, okay, maybe it's stigmatized because it is the most basic human biological function that makes human life possible. Like it is the integral part of the cycle of reproduction, which means that as civilization is created, when you think about gender roles being created around this idea of reproducing, periods become a central part of that, right? All the way to, okay, how is it written about in the Bible, right? When menstruation is automatically set up as this shameful, dirty punishment for Eve in Genesis for committing the sin of eating the apple, right? That there is this negative light on it shed from the very most fundamental religious text that we use, all the way to look at the etymology of our words and how misogynistic a lot of etymology behind words about our sexual organs or about periods and the word taboo are. And so why are people afraid of it is, I think that it's been centuries, thousands of years in the making of this biological part of life becoming so significantly relevant in culture and in, because it is biological, directly related to like what sex you're born into. At the same time, period shame becomes a huge tool of misogyny and oppressing people who get their periods. And as we know, I think in the deep, rich history of misogyny as an opportunity to continue that oppression, period shame has absolutely been continued to very much exist.
Thank you for going all the way back. And I never even thought about the way that it's presented in the Bible or through religion, but of course, you know, a lot of people take their cues from those texts and those denominations about how we should feel about our bodies, right? And how we should feel about other people's bodies. And then this is something else. I think I got this from a quote of yours in an article. Periods are currently One of the main reasons why girls miss schools in developing countries, in many countries, a girl's first period is a single event that leads to dropping out of school, getting married early, forced into social isolation, and even undergoing female genital mutilation, which is just heartbreaking to me. Can you talk a little bit about that?
A lot of my work has centered in the US, but I think that one of the biggest sort of realizations for me as a young feminist when I was first starting this work was really learning about, like, okay, if we talk about the cultural significance of periods and how, you know, maybe we don't think it's a big deal that we whisper about periods, or some people are afraid to talk about periods, like, how do we acknowledge that there is great cultural significance around this? And, you know, in many countries, because, as I said, a lot of the gender roles, especially around wife and motherhood, begins when someone is able to have children, right? That starts at menarche, when someone gets their first period. And so in many countries, a girl's first period is the single event that leads to her dropping out of school, getting married off, undergoing female genital mutilation. All of these sort of, you know, deeply practiced and cherished cultural practices of other cultures happen when, you know, a girl becomes a quote unquote woman, right? And I think that with that cultural significance, then you see that practices like that happen around someone menstruating.
Going back to the US, because I know that the most of your work is targeted here, I want to talk about one of the things that you bring up in your talks and your article about the lack of access to period products and the tax on period-related products. Can you talk about that first, and then I'll get into the next thing?
So when I started this work in 2014, when I was 16, 40 states in the U.S. had the tampon tax, which is a sales tax on period products, considering them luxury items. Meanwhile, products like Rogaine and Viagra are considered medical necessities and don't have that tax. Now that number is down to 30, but I think that learning about the tampon tax and, you know, how something so essential as like taking care of your period is like literally in law, not recognized as a necessity, was a huge part of, I think, my own passion being ignited of like, you know, this is something that really is overdue for a change. And now in my work with August, which is our lifestyle period brand, we make period products, tampons and pads that are more sustainable. We actually cover the tampon tax for any new consumers who are in those 30 states, because we don't believe anybody should have to pay for the tax, and we're certainly not going to perpetuate it.
Wait, you cover the tax for people in those states? How do you do that?
So usually in the 30 states, if you were to order period products online, you would have the added sales tax. We just cover it as a company.
That's incredible. I hope people know that that's available to them.
It's interesting because it's just kind of a no-brainer. I think we get asked a lot of how we came up with that idea. And it was just like, it wasn't even like an idea to come up with. It was just like, if we as a brand are going to stand for, you know, making this fundamental change and taking a bigger stance on things like the tampon tax, if we don't believe the tampon tax is right, then why would we ever perpetuate it? Like, I think as a brand wanting to take it a step further on how we can really stand for things.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the Netflix series Orange is the New Black?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember in the riot scene, one of the things that they were demanding was adequate access to pads and tampons because they didn't have any. They were using trash for their periods.
The sad thing is, like, it's not out of the ordinary. Like, period products very much aren't adequately provided for female inmates. And at the same time, there isn't legislation really protecting it. Like, it was only a few years ago even that as a visitor, there was legislation passed where you couldn't wear a tampon or padded because it was considered contraband, right? Like, it was eventually repealed in Virginia, but, like, this legislation is not very long ago, right? And I think that still today, there are so many pending ACLU cases that are about providing adequate access to period products in prisons. And so the Orange is the New Black, I think a lot of people watch it and they're like, wow, I can't believe like they would put that in there. But it's unfortunately a very real issue.
It is. And but it's one of those things, you know, it's people like you, it's writers who are forward thinking, who are putting it on these shows that are become part of our culture where we where that thing is just in the air and we start talking about it again.
Exactly.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
You also talked about how products like Rogaine and Viagra were considered essential goods in 2014. Are they still considered essential?
So it's like that sales tax that goes state by state.
Yeah.
And the sales tax applies to period products because they're considered non-essential goods.
Man.
I know.
What do you say? Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you said in your talk. Well,
my whole thing is like, it literally is like, I didn't really know what those things were when I first started, but looking it up and being like, okay, so older male hair growth and erections are medical necessities.
Right? I'm so with you on that. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about how periods are weaponized against women here in the States, because that's my only experience with it. But that thing about, oh, you must be on your period or you're PMSing or whatever people say, that immediately puts you in a subcategory as soon as those words are uttered, right? Like, you are less than because you're in your cycle right now. And some people won't even say period. They'll say in your cycle, or is it that time of the month or whatever. So I just wanted to talk to you about that for a minute and see what your thoughts were on weaponizing that kind of language towards us.
I mean, yeah, I think that the history is rich with thinking that when you're on your period, you're less capable, right? And I think that what I would say is there's so many layers to this, which is we think periods are so stigmatized for us as cis women. Imagine what it's like for people who are non-binary or transgender men, where their sex is not aligned with their gender, but because of the sex that they were born into, assigned female at birth, they might still experience menstruation. But I'd say like it's throughout history where even if you look at the history of period ads, and I loved writing about this in my book, you know, period ads kind of perpetuated this idea of the things you can and cannot do on your period, right? Like, don't take a bath, don't go horseback riding, don't dance, don't do jump rope when you're on your period. But all the way to look how periods show up in pop culture, usually as the butt of the joke when someone is hysterical, when someone is being, you know, quote unquote, like a pussy, right? Like all mm-hmm. these things that are kind of equated to being less capable, more emotional, you know, not trustworthy. From pop culture all the way to real life opportunity, where even when you look around the world, like how Hillary Clinton, there were mainstream articles about her being too hormonal as a woman to get, you know, to be president, even though she was much too old to get her period. Like all these things where I think a lot of the kind of understanding of periods has been in this light of periods equals less capable. And I think that why it's hard is it's a double-edged sword of wanting to make sure that we don't perpetuate that narrative that people are less capable, at the same time that we create an inclusive society where people who do feel like they need more rest, that they're in a lot of pain on their periods, are able to be really given that rest without being doubted in terms of what they're capable of.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I remember all that chatter around Hillary Clinton. I heard it around Kamala Harris yeah. as well. The idea that a woman might be too unstable or unpredictable, like you said, or emotional. especially at certain times of the month. You know, if she's having a bad period or a bad period of time, that we as a country might be in danger, you know, from whatever this is that she is being managed or swayed by, this other force. You know, obviously it's completely offensive. I love what you're doing. And I know that that's one way to dismantle these ideals and these, you know, this scaffolding that's actually been built, like, for this premise that we are more unstable because we have periods and that makes us unreliable, emotional. How is it that you're bringing men into this conversation, and how helpful are they to furthering the conversation?
I don't necessarily think I could make like a whole generalization on like all cis men, because I think that it completely ranges. But I think that what I would just say is, what I say to people who don't get their periods is, look, you either know someone or you are someone or you love someone who menstruates, or you're here because menstruation exists, right? Like, your mom got a period and then she didn't for 9 months and then you were born, you know?
Right.
And I think that a lot of it is understanding like how prevalent this is in our lives, and how I do not believe that you can say you believe in feminism or gender equality. I don't believe you can say you believe in equal opportunity without also being about ready and to talk about periods. Because, you know, if you talk about period stigma, it's so directly related to the factors by which gender equality is evaluated. And if we're not including period in that discussion and you're saying you believe in gender equality, then you have to absolutely be an advocate for periods and period health as well.
Yeah, you do. The first person I saw you doing the talk with, I think you were 19, and your partner was a man, a cisgender man, yes?
My co-founder of Period was, and also my co-founder of August. So actually in both scenarios.
That's so great. I'll tell you, you know, Scott and I talk about my period all the time. It's definitely a subject of conversation. It's a little bit of a joke because I feel like he's more sensitive to it than I am. Like, he's impacted by it in a way that I'm not as impacted by it. And as far as his emotions go, like, but he knows when I'm getting it, but it is an open discussion here. But I didn't grow up like that, Nadia. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was raised by hippies. It wasn't taboo in my house. My dad's a doctor. He talks about all things medical, but the messaging I got from society was that this was secret and shameful, and to do whatever you could do to pretend like it wasn't happening.
That it didn't exist, yeah.
Were you going to say something about my period?
No, I'm totally getting schooled on the whole thing right now. So I'm just trying to keep my mouth shut. I've learned this about race, equality, and now I'm learning a lot, you know.
You're learning about periods. And Scott has two daughters. I have boys, but he has two daughters.
And I'm just marveled at how deeply entrenched the idea of periods is used to keep people oppressed, you know, and keep the misogynistic idea and this sort of inequality thing afloat. And I think a lot of men just aren't even aware of that, right? So the idea that it can be involved in language or it can be used in a relationship in a hurtful way it takes a real person to look at that in an honest way and not just blow it off. So I appreciate your, you know, how hard you're going at this thing, you know, and how driven you are.
Can I ask if you've ever talked to your daughters about their periods?
Yeah, we talk to them. I tiptoe. I kind of gauge where they are. And I think that's another thing that I was thinking while you were talking is that, like Laura said, women have been also convinced that this is not something that they can share with people or that they have a safe place to talk about it. And I think I'm kind of blown away by the candor and the intelligence you talk about it with. It's new to me. And I think if I heard this more, I would be more comfortable speaking to my kids about it.
I always encourage, you know, dads to talk to their daughters about periods, because I think that in the home is first where you learn a lot of like what you can and cannot talk about. And I think that one of the biggest issues around periods today is that it's not talked about to the point that even people who get their periods don't know that they can openly ask for products or help when they need it or have answers to the questions about their products, the pain, cramps, anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I want to tread very lightly because I feel like I come from a generation where we're shaking off those old ideas and we're trying to open ourselves up to a more useful, kinder way to be a part of the conversation. But I'm scared I'm going to step into one of those old, you know, potholes and be like, say something stupid or, you know, like hurt somebody's feelings and not mean to.
I think that the best thing that you can do is try, right? I think that you can fuck up, but I think that's a huge part of what we want to do too, is just encourage people to, you know, kind of be unafraid to make those mistakes and just go for it.
Yeah, well, I think Laura and I, we try that, don't we, hon? We try talking about it in a way that...
Yeah, we do. As long as we're talking about it, I think this is what Nadia says. I'm going to speak for you for a second, Nadia. She's like, be open to participating in girl talk, right? That's one of the things that we can do. Don't act weird when you see someone pull a tampon out of their backpack. It's not a bomb. It's a tampon. It's fine. Listen to the people around you when they talk about things that make their periods difficult for them. I'm also guilty of this. I have been dismissive to people with periods because it's not that bad, or they're overreacting, or they're being overdramatic. And I have definitely caught myself doing that throughout my life. I do it less now, but for sure, I'm guilty of that. So I can only imagine that there are a lot of men that are also guilty of that. Let's see what else. Speak up. So this is like a period ally, right? Being a period ally, when friends make a rude comment about periods or PMS, dismissing it or using it to describe a person being too moody or frustrated or emotional. So being a period ally then, right? And speaking up for the person who is being dismissed is another way that we can destigmatize this. Would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, we try to often make these things much too complicated, where it's like it takes months and months of planning on how you're going to open up about this. And I think a lot of what I just try to tell myself and share with others is sometimes it's just like saying the word period and not treating it like a bad word, you know? And I think just wanting to have an open conversation, you know, and catching yourself when you whisper it.
Totally. And you know what's so funny about that is, very often, I have very well-intentioned friends who aren't Black who will describe someone to me and they'll whisper the word Black. And she was a Black woman, you know, like you. And I'm like, you don't have to whisper it.
It's not a bad word, right? And I think it's like worse to say it and ignore it. You know, I agree.
Here's the thing, I think, that people want to avoid discomfort at all costs. So if by pointing out something that might make you uncomfortable will make them uncomfortable, they're not going to do it. So, you know, there's that thing also that you say in your suggestions, like if someone like Scott were to carry a tampon in his backpack and offer it to people who needed it, right? That could be a way for him to destigmatize this. But people would be so embarrassed or afraid of embarrassing somebody by doing that or by pulling it out, that they won't do it. And it's not about the other person. It's like, if I'm not giving you a tampon, it's not about you, Nadia. I don't want to be uncomfortable because I've made you uncomfortable. So I'm not going to say anything and I'm not going to do that. But this is actually going to lead me to what your only one statement was. You're spreading your blood all over TikTok. Your period blood. Can you tell
Nadia,
me about
I'm glad
that?
You laugh when you hear that, because I think it's crazy sounding.
It's great. Tell me about that, Nadia.
Well, I mean, it's literally exactly what it sounds like. I think that for the last several years, as I've done this work, I myself was, you know, continuing to, I think, dismantle a lot of the, you know, societal shame that I grew up with around periods, right? Because while my family was open about it, I still grew up in this society where, you know, you'll be teased if you bleed through your pants, you know, and things like that. And I think that it's actually only been in the last year where I kind of got to my own healing of being like, you know what, fuck this. Like, if I'm going to get people to talk about periods and I want people to talk about periods, I'm going to go all out, right? So basically, all that to say, like, I will post videos or a picture of my period blood, like on my pad, and say, let me talk about why my period blood is sometimes really red and sometimes why it's really brown. And they go completely viral. There's thousands and thousands of people commenting anywhere from, this is so helpful, to, you're disgusting, go kill yourself, this is fucking gross, are you sick, all of that, right? And there have been articles about it too, about how I do this. And I think I just kind of got to this point where, you know, I think one of the biggest comments and pushback I get is people saying, you don't need to do this. This is so gross. Like, you can just talk about it. You don't have to show it. And I think what I've really learned is, first of all, this is not like, oh, I just woke up one day and I thought I would post. It's like, I've spent the last 6 years running an organization, writing a book, doing national press, talking about it, advocating, lobbying, starting a company about periods. This feels like kind of the next iteration of my advocacy, is like really showing the visuals of it. And the fact that it is the most viral thing that I've ever done by lifting a finger of like barely low lift, and that people are talking about it and getting into actual debates in the comments, to me, that is progress. And I think that for me, it's definitely out there. It's out of a lot of people's comfort zone. It was out of my comfort zone for years. And I just started doing it, and it's actually been really, really freeing. But I've been really inspired by the conversation that's been had around it too. So I haven't seen other people post period blood on TikTok, but I'm excited to get my next period so I can kind of start doing more content.
That is so awesome.
Okay, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get my period.
Yes.
It's great.
You know, it's so refreshing. And yes, 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 Nadia, all of that. And the next movement will be to discuss menopause and talk about what that means and what it looks like for people, because I think there's a lot of stigma around that. So, you know, in 40 years, when you get there, hopefully people of my generation will have opened up that dialogue and you won't have to do so much groundbreaking work because of the work you're doing now with periods.
Well, it's already happening. There's incredible movements on destigmatizing menopause, and it's really exciting to see how much is being done in the space.
Yeah, I agree. And boy, gosh, thank you so much. Thank you for your presence and your enthusiasm, your suggestions. Scott and I will both start carrying around tampons. And
I hope you try August tampons too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure we will. And actually, we'll put a link, you know, in the show notes as well so people can try them for themselves. But that's what we'll do. We'll get August tampons. We'll carry them around. Perhaps he'll be able to give one to his daughters when they need it and have that discussion. And we'll both be better period allies. You know, if someone is shaming someone about their period or period products, we will both speak up. Thanks to you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Yeah. And I hope you get to try August.
That'll be our assignment, especially because you cover the sales tax for people. I just can't believe that. That's so amazing. I'm so inspired by you. Tell me really quick before we go, where can people find you?
I'm just on social media at Nadia Okamoto, and August is itsaugust.co.
Okay, great. And then what's next for you?
Focusing on August and just learning how to be an adult, not going back to college since I'm done, and just trying to survive as an adult.
I know, it's something, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. All our kids are around your age, like 20, 23, 22, 22.
Yeah.
And 16.
Thank you for the conversation. I think there's a real visceral reaction to just how open you are about it. And it feels very relieving as a man to just be like, take the nickname away and sort of the idea. And I think I'm blown away by sort of how deeply misogynistic the whole idea that it's inferior because it's uncomfortable. And I just think that you're going to do really well because of that.
She already is. And you are helping people. You are going to help a lot of people. And I think you're helping our listeners right now. Anyone who's listening to this has had an education today. I hope they keep it close to them. So thank you, Nadia.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time for us.
Of course. So great to meet you.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.